So last week we began a journey looking at the book of Esther, a series that I'm calling God Has Not Abandoned. And we know that God is at work, and he uses both godly and the ungodly people in working his plan and purposes. Now our desire should be loving him and serving him, because we know we're given a promise that God works for the good of those who love him. It's a promise. God works for the good of those who love him. Now, this is not a promise that's given to those who are living in rebellion against God, or those who are living as if God doesn't exist. They don't get that. But we hold on to that promise very tight, and this is something we looked at last week. We hold on to it even tighter when we're walking through some pretty tough times. And we have to. The reality is we live in a world that doesn't respect or honor God. And even in times where others make bad decisions or cause us pain, we continue to faithfully serve him because we look forward to that promise. We are loving God. We know and will continue to learn that God uses events and he uses people to bring about his purpose. And we have to trust him and know that he has not abandoned us when we do not see the full picture. So one of the things we looked at the beginning of Esther last week, we saw where King Xerxes threw a big party and he wanted to parade his beautiful queen Vashti in front of his drunk party guests, and she refused. The king was angry and embarrassed by her refusal, because nobody refuses the king. And what does he do? He removes her from being queen and forever banished her from his presence and basically made an example out of her. And I think, before I get to that, last week's verses that we looked at, it really wasn't a picture of godly things, but we know that even in spite of that, God was working through what he was about to do. Without that chapter 1, there wouldn't be a chapter 2, which is what we're looking at today. The king was angry, he was embarrassed, but I think that he later regretted. He regretted after his anger kind of subsided. He remembered Vashti and what she had done. I think I have that verse here, Esther 2:1. Later, when the anger of the king Xerxes had subsided, he remembered Vashti, what she had done and what he had decreed about her. I think King Xerxes felt a little regret and sorrow over what happened. You see, he made a hasty decision that was made in the moment of anger and under the influence, and that led to lasting consequences. But let's move on and let's see what happens in chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 2 through 4 here next. Then the king's personal attendants proposed, "Let a search be made for beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm to bring all these beautiful girls into the harem of the citadel of Susa. Let them be placed under the care of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women, and let beauty treatments be given to them. Then let the girl who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti." This advice appealed to the king, and he followed it. There's some good reason to believe that about 3 years have passed since that time where the King Xerxes banishes his queen Vashti to what we're seeing right here. It goes from right to banishment to this, but actually there's probably close to 3 years that have passed since that time. And the reason why there's good reason to believe is King Xerxes had a devastating defeat when he went to fight against Greece. But none of that's included in this book of Esther. But we see in other historical things that that's probably what happened. But getting back to our story, so likely 3 years have passed. King Xerxes is getting advice, and he's getting more advice that appeals to his desires. We already know the king is kind of full of himself, and he thinks that this advice sounded good. So let's read on verses 5 through 9. Now there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, named Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Among those taken captive with Joachim, king of Judah, Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This girl, who was also known as Esther, was lovely in form and features, and Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many girls were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. The girl pleased him and won his favor. Immediately, he provided her with beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 maids selected from the king's palace and moved her and her maids into the best place in the harem. Well, there's a lot of information there. Esther had many circumstances that were really out of her control. Her parents died, and Esther was adopted by her older cousin Mordecai, a man who gave reverence to God and followed his laws. He was a good man. She was living in a land that was not her own. It was probably about 114 years since Babylon took Judah into exile. And even though she and Jewish people were establishing themselves in this Persian society, there were still elements of animosity toward the Jews, which we will see a little later. Not a total hatred of Jews, but there were pockets of anti-Jewish sentiment here and there. At the beginning of her story, we get a glimpse of a very male-dominated society where women were still seen as, I would say the best way to describe it is they were probably seen more like property. No rights, and certainly they are to obey their husbands. As we saw last week, there was a decree made by the king. Esther did not have rights. Esther's life would be filled with difficulties. Fortunately, she did grow up knowing God because of Mordecai. And we also see in the second half of verse 7 that she is described as having a beautiful figure and lovely to look at. She was a beautiful girl. And because of her beauty, Esther was singled out and chosen among many of the young women to be prospects for the new queen. Do you want to know what it doesn't say in there? Scripture doesn't state how she felt about it. Doesn't say whether she was happy to be picked. It's probably because in that culture and setting, it didn't matter what this young woman thought. Each of these women who would be presented to the king for a night, and if he liked one above all else, he would choose her as his new queen and wife. Now you need to realize that all the women who were not chosen as queen but were presented to the king for their night, they didn't get to go back to their old lives, the ones that weren't chosen. You see, they became concubines of the king, and they were housed in a different location. To be taken, like Esther is, was a life-changing event. There wasn't going back to the older life or the former life. Now, don't get me wrong, these women were treated with like royalty. They received wonderful clothing and food, and they were taken care of. They had to go through a year of preparation and beauty treatments before they were ready to be presented to the king. And then that was that one night to be presented to the king. Think about it. The magical night with the king. Is that like a Cinderella story? Where they ate around a table and danced the night away? Now, it might have been a good night for some. I don't know. They might have wanted to be chosen to be queen. But let's understand what was happening. This was an initiation night into being a concubine. They were given to the king to sleep with. We're just going to look at Scripture, and we're going to look at really what it says. Now, Scripture isn't hiding anything, not exactly explicit, but that's what was happening. They were given to the king to sleep with. Esther did not have a choice. Like I said, we really don't know the emotional state of these women. Esther may or may not have been okay with that. We don't know. Again, it didn't matter as far as the culture was concerned. But after knowing this, what are you thinking about this story now? For me, it isn't looking so wonderful to me. Now, I've watched a number of movies that covered Esther, and they make it look really nice and beautiful and extravagant. And this was the one great night. But I think Hollywood might have changed a little bit of what this really was. Yes, there was wealth, there was lavish feasts, there was treasures. But what it lacked was love and freedom and choice. But then our culture, we are used to having those things. In our time now, we get to enjoy freedoms. We get to enjoy choices. But at that time, it was completely different. But for Esther, she wouldn't have known anything different, so she would not have known that she was missing out on the things that we get to enjoy. She wouldn't have known. This is what life was like for her. This is where she was at. And it is entirely possible that those chosen women in the palace, you know, for some of them, that may have been a great night. For others, maybe not so. You see, after being after spending the night with the king, if they were not picked, they basically were moved to this second-class harem of concubines, and they would not likely see the king again unless he called for them by name. I would venture to say that this was a difficult time in the life of Esther. Who here this morning has not encountered difficulties in life? I would say that we have all encountered difficulties in life. Ours will look differently from Esther's, and ours will look differently from each other's. But we live in a world that's full of hardships and difficulties. What I love about Esther is that she does not give up. She accepts the circumstances that are out of her control, and she continues to faithfully trust God. And again, Scripture doesn't tell us that specifically, but we can see that by her actions and what she's doing. And we also would know that that's what Mordecai would be telling her as a faithful follower of God. Trust God. You too must hold on to your faith in times of difficulties. not giving up or giving in to self-pity or self-destruction. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say that that's easy, because it certainly is not easy. I know from experience that in difficult times that we really have to be focused on serving the Lord, because it's so easy to focus on the pain or the circumstances that we miss opportunities to serve God. You know, difficulties come and a choice is presented. Do we hold fast to our faith and serve Jesus Christ in the midst of difficulties? Or do we blame God for the difficulties and focus on ourselves? I can tell you the world, the way the world is, it's going to be easier to do the second than it is to do the first. Even though the time was difficult for Esther, she maintained a character that caused many to notice her. Now, this is significant here. Esther maintained a character that caused many to notice her. Okay, some might think, well, people noticed her because she was beautiful. It has to be more than that. The other prospects, the other young ladies that were brought into the palace to be presented to the king, I'm going to tell you right now, they were all beautiful. If they weren't, they would never have gotten that far. So there was something beyond just beauty that people took notice of. I believe that there was a sense of confidence that would cause the king's eunuch and others to take special notice and favor of her. And I believe there was a presence of God with her that made her different. Esther did go with the flow of what regulation she was required to keep. She still accepted the authority of Mordecai, her adoptive father figure. She accepted the advice of those who knew the king or who were in the palace. She accepted advice. She may not have chosen her place in life, but she made an effort to please the king, and he indeed took notice of her and chose her over the other young women as the new queen. And we'll read that here, starting with verse 12. Before a girl's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the women, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. And this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given her to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening she would go there, and in the morning return to another part of the harem to the care of Shazgaz, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the concubines. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her and summoned her by name. When the turn came for Esther, the girl Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the provinces and distributed gifts with royal liberality. When the virgins were assembled a second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. But Esther had kept secret her family background, nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do. For she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions, as she had done when he was bringing her up. One would like to see, okay, the lights fade and then the caption, the end, or they lived happily ever after. Wouldn't that be the great ending right here? maybe, yeah, okay, it doesn't sound that great up until she gets crowned, and then, hey, it's great. But you know what? This isn't the end of Esther's difficulties. This isn't the end of the story. Unfortunately, there's more hardships to come. Esther's story will continue to have trials. And she is crowned queen, but this is a huge change from anything she has known. Fortunately, she's still in communication with her adoptive father, Mordecai, who is able to still speak truth to her. And some wonder if Esther wasn't being deceptive by not sharing her Jewish heritage. And I don't think so. I think that Mordecai understood that there would be a time, the right time and the right way, where her background would be revealed. Wisdom was being used in this circumstance. When I read this, I cannot help but think of someone else who had some similar circumstances of difficulties in life, and that's Israel's son Joseph. And I know I mentioned him last week, but Joseph, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was falsely accused and put into prison. So many things happened to him that seemed like one tragedy after another, but he served God, and everything Joseph did was done to the best of his ability. And as he was doing everything as unto God. And the result was that Joseph ended up being in the second highest position in Egypt, just under Pharaoh. Because of Joseph's faithfulness, what was intended for evil, God used for good. And there are a lot of things that were out of Joseph's and Esther's control. Esther grew up without parents. She grew up with an adoptive dad, and he was a really good dad. But Esther was taken to the palace. She didn't have a choice. Was required to do a year of these treatments, beauty treatments. And then she was presented to the king. She wasn't in a position she could refuse. And oftentimes we face similar things. If we had a choice, we certainly would not go through the tough things in life. Let's be real. A lot of us have gone through tough times. If we were given a choice, we would not choose to go through them. But oftentimes, through those hardships, we do see God moving in them. We have to keep moving, seeking the Lord and trusting that He will carry us through the really hard times. Trusting God in the trials can be difficult, but we have to believe that even when we are hurting, that God can and will use it for good, and He is walking with us through those difficulties. The second part of verse 15 is what I believe to be the work of God. Esther 2:15 says, "And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her." She was different, and that I believe was because of the presence of God in her and around her. She was different. She was wise because she knew who to listen to. She knew to listen to Mordecai. With his godly influence in her life. And he had been there since she was young. She also listened to the people in the palace and the king's eunuch who shared wisdom with her on how to best serve in the palace and how to best serve the king. Now, we can face difficulties because of poor choices or decisions we have made. Now, I don't know about you, but I've made many of them. And there's often times where days will go by and I'm sitting there going, why did I do that? Why did I make a bad decision? And hopefully from those times I can gain wisdom and not do that again. But there are the other side of that, though, is there are times that things are completely out of our control, or things happen because of other people's choices. Things happen because we live in a broken, fallen world, and we may not be able to control the things that are happening around us, but we can see from Esther's example that she remained different because of God. Can the same be said of you or I? You, Are you different because of the presence of God in you and around you? Are you different? Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Esther outshined the others, and I believe it was because God's light was shining through her. Let that be us. Let God's light shine through us, that others will see we are different, and that is a good different because the praise is given to the Father in heaven, not given to ourselves. Yes, we might be in hard times, but we can still shine because with God we can have joy in the hard times. We can have peace in the hard times because of God, and we can have hope in the hard times because of God. As we shine and do good deeds, we do everything as unto the Lord, and He will bless it. It might not look like it immediately, but we are to do everything as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Esther may have appeared to only be serving the king, but I would believe she served the king as she would God. Now, I know that might be taken the wrong way, and she was not worshiping the king at all. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that she didn't have a choice in where she was, and she was going to serve the king to the best of her ability, and that was her way of honoring God. What are we doing? I know for me, there's been times I will just put in a half effort. Maybe that's for you. Complaining oftentimes comes around too. Whatever your hands do, do it as unto the Lord, and He will bless you. Putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, and we have God's Word to guide us and direct us. Let us not take those two things lightly. But as Esther listened to wise counsel, let us, in our difficult moments, seek wise counsel as well. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. And then another good proverb after that is Proverbs 19:20-21. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We're not to listen to just any advice. We are to seek out those who are godly and wise. What is a person who rejects wise advice or wise counsel? We're told they're a fool. The one who rejects the wisdom of those who are godly, they're fool. In this church, there are many wise men and wise women. We ought to be seeking out and connecting with them and listening. Maybe it's someone that has walked a similar thing in the past. We can hear from them what God had done and how He brought them through. And maybe we don't have the same circumstance, but you know what? We can encourage each other and be encouraged by others. Most of all, in the different circumstances, we can trust God and trust that He is taking care of us, even when it's difficult to see. We can and we need to trust Him completely. Last week's message contained a passage on trust, and that passage is again a note to leave with you for today. And I'm just going to warn you, next week you're going to get this verse again. And you know what? This verse may come up in every single message in Esther. And that's Proverbs 3:5-6. It's that important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust Him in the good times and trust Him even more in the difficult times and in the painful times. Trust Him. Don't just go your own way. Trust him, and he will take you in the direction that you need to go.